Friday Afternoon Deploys covered 99 topics, but JS ain't one. Chris is a fuzzy guy.
Yep.
He's been on the show before. Holy shit. Wait a minute. I have to talk about the fact that there are four gentlemen, well, three and me, in this room right now together.
Together, again.
In the flesh.
Yeah.
Indeed.
What a different thing.
Yeah.
I like it. I missed it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You vibing? Too. I don't even recognize Blake.
Yeah, I know,
miss
right?
People. I just like, look over here.
I know. Yeah. He's looking good.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Also, not wearing the glasses. So yeah.
The glasses. I didn't notice that, too. Man, he's just changed his life.
The pandemic changed me, y'all.
He's like, he came out pandemic. I came out.
Yeah, net positive instead
I came out fatter and wearing glasses. I don't know if you noticed.
I didn't.
Blake comes in all spelt without glasses anymore.
I honestly didn't notice the glasses.
I appreciate you shoveling all of your defects onto me. I will be the host now.
I think you also took some of my beard.
Man, dude. Okay, so funny. I had to laugh about this because the beard almost ate it last night. Mm. It's at that phase, you know? It's like every time I eat a sandwich, I eat my mustache.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, I've had enough. But we're in the middle of doing a video project for Lofty on the marketing side. And I was like, we might have to go shoot coverage and like me come back in and sit in the chair and say something I forgot to say. And that's going to be real fucking jarring. Yeah. The camera angle changes and I don't have a beard anymore.
Yep.
So the only reason why I have a beard at all right now is because we might have to shoot some more roll for one of our marketing videos. Oh, man.
But it's hot out there, man.
It's hot.
The beard is hot.
Thanks. But it is. Yes. Yeah. Also that. Also
both.
That.
I mean
yeah.
both.
Yeah, I know. I get it. It's it's rough out there.
I haven't noticed.
Alan's old school beard.
Man, I don't know
mine's
how you do
got
it.
So far. He's I'm just like, used to eating hair with sandwiches and all that now.
Beard's just become my life. You have no idea about temperatures without beard.
No, actually. So I just got a haircut, which was great too. This is my first haircut since since the pandemic. And so I was discussing, I am going to trim this guy or have her do it. It's you know, you discover things along the journey. So one of them, the first one is I get hair in my mouth when I eat tacos and sandwiches, and that sucks.
I don't know what it is about bread. It just catches hair.
Catches it. Pulls it all in. It's like a comb. So the new one I've discovered, because I can't, there's been many along the way. The new one I've discovered is now I can get my elbow on it in bed.
Oh, man.
When I go to roll over at night and just give it a good tug.
No.
Yeah. So that's where I'm thinking, take about that much off of it there.
I can't imagine, because I think we've all been. Like in the situation where we've like been in bed with our partner and like laid on their hair and
felt
the wrath of that person.
Yeah, totally.
And now you're doing that to yourself. Like I can't imagine. Like
no, it was a humbling experience.
Yeah, somewhere Alyssa's just like, see,
yeah.
Come crying to me.
Yep.
No empathy or no sympathy for you in that. No.
I have a haircutting story, which is that I got my first pandemic haircut that wasn't self-inflicted in the bathroom with a pair of clippers when I was down in South Padre a couple weeks ago. And I got my haircut by, first of all, it was vacation season. It was a weekend before Memorial Day weekend. So it was crowded. And it was Texas where they never gave a shit anyway. So there's people everywhere and like everything's booked up. And I was like, I gotta get a haircut because I'm looking like COVID caveman, right? And I'm about to get a lot of sun. And I know better than to get a sunburn and then cut my hair and then have that white ring around my head. So I was like, I gotta get this done. I gotta get it done quick. And I couldn't find anything on that island to get my haircut. And we were down there in the RV, so I didn't have a car. I was like, whatever I can get to on bike from the RV park is what I had to get to. But I found this lady with like the craziest 90s website. Whatever her first name is, like Debbie Does Hair, but not that. And I don't think it was Debbie. I don't know why that came to mind. She did television, hair, and movie for a bunch of stuff that was shot in Texas, particularly in the Dallas area.
Okay.
She was nice. Lead hair and
please
makeup.
Please tell me it was the actual show.
Yeah, Dallas. I was about to
please
say.
Please tell like, me Dallas, you got a J.R. Ewing haircut. Like,
J.R. Ewing, yeah.
She did lead hair and makeup for the movie Office Space.
Oh, that's amazing. Oh, wow.
So I was like, no way. And then I went in and I was like, wait a minute. She did Milton.
Hmm.
And I I asked her, I was like, did you really do Office Space? She's like, oh yeah. And she told me a couple other things. She did Walker, Texas Ranger.
I was about to say, she had to have been Walker,
Texas Ranger. She did a bunch. And she's retired from production, she said. She didn't do that stuff anymore. But yeah, so I got my hair cut by the Office Space lady. And she asked me, you know, Peter Gibbons or Milton. And I went with the Milton.
That's amazing. Like,
yeah, let's do that.
That's amazing.
Interesting lady.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I bet. Yeah.
Very opinionated about. And you know what? It kind of reminded me.
Texans have opinions.
Bizarre, right?
Mm.
You're one of them, Tyrell.
I've been known to dabble.
All right. So let me tie this. Let me tie this all together.
Sure.
Because I'm getting my hair cut by an opinionated Texan, and it reminds me of a conversation we had in the software development world today about opinions. We're going to be working on a project potentially. Partnering up with another software development firm.
Right.
All right. Anybody ever done that?
Mm-hmm.
Tensions.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
They never come in nice. Sometimes they do. We came in nice.
We did.
Yeah. I think we did. You go. I really do. We came in nice.
It doesn't take long for that bridge to get burned.
No.
Well,
and everyone's posturing. There's this whole just like for the first, like, it's peacocking.
Who's running this show?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, it's just a, oh, what? What's your preference? Oh, well, that preference is dog shit, you know? And yep. Here's why.
Yep.
And so we had a conversation that I think ended up in a good place, a place that I'm happy with.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm glad as my boss you're happy.
Because Tyrell came in and laid down the law.
I did have to put someone in a place.
But the point of the, and this is, and we bundled it all up in a nice package. That was basically along the lines of, hey, everyone's got preferences, okay? And the most important decision to be made about what framework or technology is being used here is like what the people doing it are going to be comfortable with. We can build this in any language. Yeah. It's 2021. And even if it's JavaScript.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten to do that to you in person in so long.
But here we are.
Here we go. Let me get that. I forgot. Let me get that
it's
one.
It's muscle memory.
It's all coming back.
Just lob that one up there.
It's all coming back, everybody, when you get out here in the world. But like the point is, like, we specialize in stuff because we're good at it.
Yeah.
You have to get good at something, and like making someone build something and the shit they're not comfortable with is not going to go well. Right. People are going to be most effective and what. So let you know, we can do microservices. You do stuff in your framework. I'll do it in mine. Let's make good interfaces with one another.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ask you to work in my language. You're not going to ask me to work in yours. Everyone's going to be good. And that's where we ended that conversation.
I think what was their fine. What was their language?
It was Node.
They're wanting Node. Well, and so this
it
is
wasn't
this,
Node. They came in going no Python because you can't do computations in
well,
it.
That was a lot. They came in with a lot of heat. And they came in with a lot of heat, and they're going to be responsible for the back end. And I was glad to let them make those decisions, though I disagreed with them tremendously. 100%. They made a lot. The things they stated, which they didn't need to state, it's just like, don't justify your choices, just make them. We're fine. And then they came in and made their case.
Right.
And I was like, I don't need to know your case because now I'm going to disagree with it. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. Just build the thing and ship it.
Yeah.
As long as it works, I don't care, but don't come at me with your opinions. And then they're just like, oh, and also the decisions you made, how about not those? And I said, no. Yeah. I said, we're going to go ahead and like start off on the right foot and say, nobody does that. We're not going to question you. You don't question us. Everybody ships each other Docker images that are fully functional.
Yeah.
And we'll have a nice, beautiful relationship. Your code works.
Yep.
I don't know why. I don't care why. It works. Same over here. And so like I just had to because they absolutely came in on their side defending what they were doing on the back end, even though we had brought them no criticism. And their defenses were like coming at us in a sense.
Yeah.
And then on the other side of that, they're just like, this is why we're building it our way, not yours. And also your way on the front end is also terrible. Hmm. And it was just like, no, we're not going to do that ever again. Let's just be clear. To which they replied like, oh, no, we work great with other companies. Please. Mm-hmm. everybody, let's chill. I was like, cool, let's work great with other companies then.
And so we all agreed to be there. And the thing was, like, have opinions. They came with opinions.
Of course.
Don't come in with an opinion and say, like, don't come in with an opinion and a preference. And then dress that up as like, this is my professional recommendation, because if you don't do it this way, that's malpractice.
Yeah. Right? And to even say like, this is my professional recommendation for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. Like, I'm going to give you a recommendation.
That's what happens. They came in and you know, we have the third party client in the room with all of us trying to resolve all this stuff.
Right. They're kind of like shit on you guys.
Yeah. They're like, Mr. and Mrs. Client, those guys made a recommendation that we can't professionally condone because we don't like it.
You
know?
Yeah.
And I was just like, hey, you don't have to like it, but don't, you know, don't come shit on my doorstep. And
I think related to that, in a situation that I've been in before, is where you're actually hired to be the expert and to have opinions.
Mm-hmm.
And then
that's not fun either.
And then they don't like someone doesn't like your opinion, mm-hmm. even though that's literally what you were hired for.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, well, okay, guess this is going to be a shitty time because I'm going to keep telling you what my opinion is.
Yeah.
That's how my check comes.
Yeah, no, that's the fun thing where it's just like, I'm going to give you what you're paying me for. Obviously, you don't like it, but it doesn't mean that's not what you're paying me for.
Right, so. Yeah.
I don't want to eat it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I contracted with this company one time, and they were like, they were pretty old school, and they were like, yeah, can you give us, like, can you just look over the projects and give us some feedback on, like, things you think we could do to modernize it? So I made, like, a list. And I was like, these are the things. And they were like, yeah, we're not going to do any of that. And I was like, cool. Like, but you know, give me that paycheck. Cause I just did what you asked me to do. Yep. So,
you know, client services is kind of evil Knievel. You get the attempt.
That's definitely not uncommon when you are paid to consult or give recommendations. And then you see the client take those and take no action on them, and then come back like 3 years later and I either ask you for another consult.
Yeah.
And you're just like, should I just like pull up the document that I gave you last time?
Right.
And let's review those and I'll see if you've done those first. Cause I can save you money. Yep. I will save you time and money.
Yeah.
Let's pull up this PDF together and go over it again.
Have you made
and
any of these changes? If you've
not made any changes, guess what? You've just saved a crap ton of money. Go do the things I told you to do the first time.
Yeah.
Just go in that directory, touch the file. Cool. Last modified today. That'll be $2,800.
Yeah. Oh man. I think what people are looking for most of the time in those situations is validation.
Right.
Yep.
They want you to tell them that their opinion is right.
It's either that, or it's like the push to get the outside opinion didn't come from the people who are supposed to receive the opinion. True. Like, okay, cool.
Right.
And now we had the outside audit, so we can shut up that one guy on the board of directors.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Just keeps meddling.
Yeah.
I'm like, there you go. We did the thing. Or it's like a due diligence thing.
Yeah.
We're about to get acquired or invested in or something. And they want us to do a security audit. Cool, we did a security audit. Says we suck.
Yeah. Moving on.
Audit complete.
Give us the money.
We don't check that box.
You technically requested an audit, not remediations. Here we go.
Exactly.
So my thought on that was, you know, like, have opinions. And, like, it's good to have opinions. And this is what we do. And this is what we don't do, because that's where you work best. And that's how my hairdresser was, the Office Space lady down in Texas, because she was like, I don't do clippers. She was like, I don't do fades. I don't do. She had a whole list.
No fade.
Yeah,
no,
she wouldn't fades? Do a fade.
I'd have to have left.
I know. I wanted a fade like you've got.
You usually rocking. Do have a fade.
This is like when I get a haircut, which is like twice a year. I go in and get like a southern fade.
That's why you get. That's why you do, right?
So because I need 6 months of runway, exactly. Yeah. And so it's. I don't fade to the skin. Hmm. I think that's called a southern fade. I don't know what you asked for. Or do you go by the number? Like, give me a number two or whatever it is.
Yeah. We go by the guard. So she was like, you know, what do you want? And I was like, the huge, because now it doesn't feel usual. And so like a one or, and I was like, no guard. Let's do it right.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's get it's this been hair a while. Cut.
Yeah. I want to feel the breeze on the side of my head.
I got to do something to offset this down here on the chin.
Debbie does hair would have turned you away.
The beard in.
Yeah. Yeah. I would have turned her away.
Well, you know, I mean, that was the thing. And I was like, whatever. I'm in need of a service. I need my hair cut.
Yeah.
It's the only option here on the island. And like, I'll play by your rules. What I didn't try and do is come in there and say, no, let me show you how I like to cut hair.
Right. Right.
And like, and then get mad at her when she, you know, doesn't want to do that, or like potentially like doesn't do the job I'm expecting because I asked her to cut hair in a way that she doesn't cut hair, you know, like when a client comes in and says, write code the way I want to write code. And like, I don't, that's not my process. And I don't guarantee any results at the end of that. He said, I don't make people look like peeled onions. That's what she said.
Whoa.
And then I had to.
That's a beautiful Texas woman.
You know, mullets are in again.
Yeah, yeah, they are. I had a mullet for 6 months.
Did you really?
Yeah.
She tried hard to sell me on the mullet. Wow. She was like, you're
I
all
wish
set
she
up.
Had of.
She literally, what did she say mullet? Because that's.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
She said, do you want a mullet?
Yeah,
that's amazing. Like the first word I remember. I was like, no. And she was like, because, like.
You're good.
She's like,
because
your shit's wrecked. All I have to do is trim up the signs and you're like perfect.
Yeah, that'll be easy.
Oh, that's amazing.
And yeah, I was like, no, I don't want to do that kind of explain. She's like, I don't do clippers. And I was like, that's fine. You know, scissor over hand and scissor over comb on the sides. Yeah. I can handle all that. And we agreed to disagree, but she was like, you're not making me very happy today. Because I wouldn't let her do the mullet.
Now, what's fun is there was a season in which people who had mullets, like it was the unspoken mullet. Like you couldn't acknowledge that they had a mullet. Like you're just like, I remember distinctly rolling into I was playing with a band. And we rolled into a venue, and there was a dude with a mullet, and I was just like, holy crap, check out that dude's mullet. And somebody who knew him rolled out the window and was just like, bro, this guy loves your mullet. I was like, you can't tell him he has one. He'll cut it off. What are you doing? This is like maybe 2002. You just didn't speak of the mullet. You could admire them, but you couldn't acknowledge them because it was a feared thing. Kind of like, you know, I now like... I'm like super comfortable with my mustache, but back in the day when I first got it, I was just like, am I going to be the guy with just a mustache? Cause that's kind of mullety. It's like the face mullet. Can I do that? And now it's like, I'm perfectly comfortable with it. Mustache, it's been completely normalized. And I think the mullet is now getting normalized.
Yeah. Mullet's a hashtag now. It's got a whole tag.
So I think
it's going to
be like high fashion soon. Like mullets and mustaches will be high fashion soon.
I know what kind of curl you're capable of. And I think a curly mullet and mustache.
I almost went mullet on my last haircut.
If we get 10 new patrons,
I have enough people that I want to respect me that I can't quite go mullet and mustache. But I mean, I also think
want you to know that there are no professional and career limitations.
And I also think about Benfold 5 song, grew a mustache and a mullet, got a job at Chick-fil-A. And it's just like, can I, am I comfortable being that guy that Ben Folds?
I won't make it go work at Chick-fil-A.
Makes iconic in a song.
Well, true. So we went last Sunday, we went to the Cirque d'Italia.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And it was great. It's like a water circus and stuff. Everly had a great time, which is the whole point.
Right.
And I figured we would get to intermission, have to roll out. But she made it all the way through. They did like picture time with the mermaid during it, so that helped a lot.
Yeah.
Did the French water acrobats have mullets?
Yes. Well, he was actually from the United States. But because at the end, they did this really cool outro where they had sashes from where they were from. One of them was from Italy, and then they were from all over. But yeah, the American guy had a epic mullet. So nice. I was just saying, he didn't work at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, that's true. You're no longer limited to...
I was this close. I would have been a mullet CEO.
See, I'd have to be careful because what I would have to do to be able to get to a mullet, I think, would be the hair equivalent of what I did with a mustache, which for those of you who've been with Lofty long enough, you'll remember the mustache was born from a very failed attempt at a no-shave November in which my wife saw my face after I hadn't shaved for 3 weeks and said, your face makes me sad. And so I shaved everything but the mustache, and it was the most handsome I'd ever been, only because it lacked like the terrible attempt at a beard everywhere else. Mm-hmm. And the mustache has been golden ever since. So I've got to figure out how to do it. Yeah.
Right, you're going to have some...
Like at the dinner table, my children are there. Like we're all there.
Right in front of the kids.
She just comes out in front of the kids. It's the most demoralizing moment potentially of my life. But now I have to figure out how to do the hair equivalent of that so I can go away with the mullet.
Because it's going to be like the natural evolution of the mullet, right? So we came out of the 70s, feathered hairs and all that, and then we had to, you know, business in the front, but I still want my party in the back. So yeah, you're going to have that in-betweeny time, I would imagine, kind of feathered sides of hair.
The other thing is like the kids do mullets these days, and that's going to instantly make me sound like an old guy, but I'm a track coach at a local school, just kind of like on the side volunteering, and I see plenty of like young track athletes at the meets with mullets, and like that's great. But it's just like, I also don't want to be the old guy with the mullet, because I would kind of be that guy. Feels so it's like, I have to find what's appropriate for me now at the stage of life that I'm in.
That's true. A great point. So
there's definitely, like, I could pull off a mullet in today's society. We are diverse and inclusive, including those with mullets. But do I want to be the old guy with the mullet? Right. Is the question.
Well, that's the thing.
As long as you don't get a vet.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I have to never wear my Pink Floyd t-shirt ever again. Technically, I don't own one, but it's a Strange Loop t-shirt that's a throwback to the Dark Side of the Moon album cover.
It's got the prism on it.
And I would never be able to wear that, and that kind of sucks. So
yeah, that's sad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, compromises.
Yeah.
That's what life's about.
That's right.
It's a comfortable t-shirt, so I don't know that I'll give it up.
That's the way these are. I love these gray lofty ones we've got, man.
He's rocking the lofty over there. Yeah. We're about to have to reorder some stuff.
And I want some more of these.
We're going to new stock, but I don't know. I don't know what is that one of those canvas tees? Those are freaking best. Yeah. All the good swag is on the canvas brand. I will have to look and see because we're about to reorder. We need some new lofty shirts. We're coming at you from the new lofty digs, the new studio, the new office.
It's roomy. It's roomy in here.
It's spacious.
Yeah.
There's no one up here.
Ironically.
Yeah. That's the best part about it.
Yeah.
No clients, no employees.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? There's nobody like walking above us.
There's no one upstairs.
I know. Yeah. It's disappointing to not hear someone like proudly rush across the floor from something.
There's no horses being like walked around the stables up there.
And getting used to.
I think most people know. Hell, I don't know. I'm not caught up. I haven't been on the podcast in like 3 months. My bad.
Yeah.
I'm good to see you guys.
Good to have you as our honored guest.
Yeah, it's good. I feel like a host coming back to SNL.
That's right.
There's been a lot going on, and I've had plenty going on, and that kept me out of the loop. But one of those things was us closing down our old office. We went full remote, and we still had an office because contracts. And you've got a panel on my coming head, at you. We have live hazards in the studio. Yeah, again.
That's falling on my head.
You can get it.
Did I get it?
I think he's got it, folks.
There it is.
So yeah. Yeah. Pretty good.
Seems safe.
Yeah.
Don't mind me. Y'all carry on.
Yeah, you do your thing.
It's cloth mostly.
So yeah, we had one of those stupid lease things. So we had an office we weren't using, but we closed that out. I was moving that. I was moving my house. I moved. And then we still need a place, I think, to have clients in. I knew that we were going to come back to a place where we could finally get back together. We wanted the podcast studio to be resurrected. Here we are. Yes.
Yeah.
Very exciting. And so what we did was we actually ended up parking ourselves here in a little studio space inside of a co-working space that had opened that I hadn't been into, and then came and looked and they had this spot and said, hey, this is cool. So the game plan here is that like we can bring clients in. Lofty's officially full-time remote. We now have employees in 4 states. And so we're committed. And this is like flex space. People come up, grab a desk. We can record the podcast. If a client wants to come in, we got a conference room. And it's like a really, being in a co-working space, we've got this cool kind of low risk, if you will, the MVP version of defining what we need out of an office in the new world, because we don't really know exactly yet.
Yeah.
So we're doing this for however long we do this.
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
It's like storage space that we can occupy.
Yeah.
Because I was paying
to store all this shit.
Yeah, right? Very usable storage space. Yeah. Like we were about like 2 months from just like rolling up the door at the storage space.
We could have just podcasted. I brought a
shop fan and do we got power here somewhere?
We could have just podcasted out of the storage building. It would have had a Marc Maron vibe to it. Just roll open the overhead door and do our thing.
Nice.
Yeah, this is a little more pricey than the storage building, but it's comfy. We got the stuff. Blake, we'll give you the tour. I don't know if you've been in through here before, but the common areas.
I've never actually been in here before.
We get to pretend like all of this is ours.
Are there any other businesses that I would know about that are in here?
I don't know if you'd know about them. Okay. There are others. I had not known of them.
Okay,
cool. I think there's one kind of local company across the way that was I think they originally had this whole space, but they've condensed to one space in here. Or the name's still on the door from when they occupied the whole space.
The PR firm?
Yeah, yeah.
No, they're not over there.
Okay, cool. Well, yeah,
that room's weird.
They just left their name on the door over there, I guess. Oh,
okay. Yeah, that was Mitchell. Mitchell was over here. This was all Mitchell's building for a long time. Yeah. They've still got the building next door, but the parking lot's empty. I think they've gone full remote. So
I think it'll be interesting to see the amount of real estate that actually, or like commercial real estate that's available. Because
I personally know of a completely empty building that we used to occupy.
Every
lease over there is turned over.
Really?
Pretty sure.
Lord, I didn't realize it was quite that extreme.
Yeah, I felt kind of bad, but you know,
but don't.
We gotta do what we gotta do.
I had something I wanted to bring up and get some opinions on.
Get it off your chest.
I've got some opinions.
Yeah, I feel like this group has opinions.
Opine.
Yes. How do you guys, or like, what do you guys think is going to happen to like the in-person developer communities after all this?
Fuck if I know.
Yeah, no, that is a great question.
Are you asking because you want me to help you figure out what to do with your meetup group?
Yep.
Because I don't know what to do with my Python group.
Yep. I'm in the same situation. Well, I don't know what to do.
Here's one of the things I've been debating is because we have this space, there's actually a studio space downstairs, which is a very generous descriptor. It is half of the parking lot.
But can be reserved for
events and stuff. And it's like open air. And so like, it's a very soft way that we could get people together to do like a lecture style event, but like you're outdoors, but you're in the shade. And like, maybe that's the way to do it. But like, I don't know, man, I'm kind of demotivated.
Feeling that too.
We tried to do, did you guys do Zoom?
Yeah, sessions? We did virtual three, four months and had about five people every time.
You know,
I felt terrible. Like I would forget. And then the next day I would hear about it. And because it was different whenever I had to think, okay, I got to get ready and go to
the place. Yeah. And some people, the networking was part of it, right?
Like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you take that away and it's like,
It's like virtual conferences. I don't go to conferences for the talks. Those are on YouTube.
Yeah.
I go to the conferences for meeting, a running crew to drink with and
and
do this kind of thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what conferences are for.
I think you kind of have to determine if it's something you want to continue. Because I think everybody kind of has to reevaluate their priorities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like what will come with me into kind of the post pandemic world. But if it's something that is determined to be of value, I think striking while the iron's hot will be key, because there's so much pent up energy. Like this is going to be one of those things where people who've been pent up will absolutely take advantage of it. You just have to determine, like, do I want that?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And there's a chance that you won't get a response, but I would almost guarantee, like, the moment it's known that there's an in-person thing.
Yeah. At some point, there is going to be that critical mass. I feel like people that want to go back and do something. I think for me personally, feeling pretty worn out.
Sure.
After 6 years or whatever.
You and I have a shared disposition on that. That I think clouds the, because what's going to happen to the in-person dev community? Well, I imagine it's going to bounce back. Some eager set of enthusiastic.
You think so?
Younger and potentially more extroverted people are going to go back to fun conferences and events. But like, you know, it's hard. It's hard running a meetup group.
Yep.
Knows.
Yep.
Like,
well, that's.
I wish some young whippersnapper would come along and want to like do it together. Is what I want.
I and this is something that I'm eternally grateful for, but also feel some guilt about, which is how much help I got from Chrissy, who's been on this show before, in running that, because I went to her at peak burnout for me of running that meetup group. Because I was about, I think we started maybe about a year before you guys. I think it was about 7 years. Yeah. I started that before I started Lofty.
Yeah.
So put the timeline.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was peak burnout. And I was just like, hey, can you help me somehow?
Yeah.
Like find speakers or something. And Chrissy took a tremendous amount of initiative and just, I just started showing up and saying thanks for coming and shaking hands and stuff like that, which spoiled me tremendously.
Yep.
But like, I think, you know, that helped a lot. And like, I didn't really find someone to pass the torch onto. I found someone to like co-run it with, and she had so much initiative and drive for it that like, that enabled me to frankly be lazy.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. She really helped out quite a bit with
it. I was going to say one. It's interesting and this is everybody kind of go to their corners in a sense, but like, I'm surprised to hear that the JavaScript meetups weren't super well attended because there's such an abundance as things have turned in our local development community, mm-hmm. and there's been mm-hmm. an increase in JavaScript development, JavaScript jobs. I would think like that's where we get to play the old man and the quote unquote less dying or not less dying, aka less popular, less hot technology. So like for us, it like makes sense that like the Python meetups weren't well attended as the jobs in the market shift towards JavaScript, all like Flare and such aside. That's the reality of the situation. Mm-hmm. Jobs in the market in our region have shifted from Python and are even more focused on JavaScript. So I'm surprised to hear that you're having those kind of attendance mm-hmm. issues.
Yeah, it's the community here, I feel like, is kind of strange, to be yeah. honest, because yeah. while we do have, you know, we have a fair number of kind of like startup-y type things mm-hmm. here, but it's not an overabundance. Mm-hmm. And even though there is a lot of JavaScript here, a lot of it's enterprise.
Yeah.
And those people are fucking hard to get to come out, man.
Boy, they are.
It's a hard audience to tap into.
It's true.
Enterprise
development. I noticed this like kind of early in my career. I didn't realize I was always part of that scene that like wanted to go out and participate in the events and go to yep. conferences and stuff yep. like that. So when I started coming across people's like, wait, oh, you write code for a living, but you like go home at 5 o'clock. And you don't think about writing code anymore?
Right. Yeah.
Because
I was not. Yeah, I've never been that.
Yeah, big. It was more than a paycheck. And I don't want to say that it's, you know, not more than a pay. I'm putting words in people's mouths,
sure.
but definitely like I had an enthusiasm for yep. it that like was beyond my 9 to 5.
Yep.
That some people didn't share, and I remember being totally caught off guard by that. Like, oh, you can interact with this world in that way too. But that was a very foreign thing to me. But you're right, man.
I do feel like that has waned for me though over time. Definitely
the enthusiasm.
Yeah,
that's probably what it is. Is I was 22 and didn't have anything better to do.
Right. Yeah, right.
Now I'm
yeah,
exhausted, right. Like, and I got a yard to mow and a yeah. kid to feed, and just like you yeah. know,
Is there a place, because you pointed out like there's a lot of enterprise JavaScript jobs, and that's definitely true. There are like really good JavaScript jobs enterprise in our region. Like, is there a place for partnership with those companies?
Perhaps, dude, I have tried.
Yeah,
but like, so I've tried, but like, what happens is like Walmart, right? Has like their own internal. Like meetups,
yeah. these guys have
their own ecosystem,
thing?
Right? That yeah. just feeds itself.
They're like, dude, we can snap our fingers and get, you know, like 9,000 Java developers in a room whenever we want.
Yeah,
and we can make it mandatory.
Or we can snap our fingers and get like, got you know, famous JavaScript developer true. From yeah. Microsoft,
Sir Walter Java will come give a keynote.
You know. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. You know, like so. It's like, oh, okay.
Is that true of do you feel like that's true of all the places?
I know it's true of two of them.
Okay. I've got one place that I might be able to give you a connection with if it's not one of the other two that you already have.
You guys can name places. They don't care
yeah,
about
yeah,
us.
Yeah, yeah. I've got a good friend. I think a shared content with all of us at JB Hunt.
At JB
I don't
Hunt,
know
I feel like
if you've been able to break in there.
It's like sometimes I will get people from JB Hunt.
I've seen JB Hunt be very active in the local community. Yeah. I'll be so bold yeah, as yeah. to say that beyond like nameplate on a thing. Like yeah. I know developers
yeah.
and coordinators at JB Hunt that have been active in local meetups, in Tech Fest, and all of those things.
Yeah, so. Totally. I did try to get them to back in 2019 when I was out doing the sponsorship tour, trying mm-hmm. to get people to give me money so I can add yeah. stuff to the events.
Yeah. I mean, free beer and free pizza.
Yeah, I went mm-hmm. to. That's,
you'll definitely get folks like no yeah. one's had free beer and pizza for like a year. Yeah, you can get
true.
That.
It's true.
Everyone's gonna get really excited all of a sudden yeah, to be at a meetup again.
But I went to that. They were one of the companies I went to, and I was just struggling. You know, it has to go through 5 layers sure. of approval. Oh, yeah, and yeah, blah, yeah. blah 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 blah.
Well, and what I found was, I think in the early days of the Python meetup, I was trying to like get that sort of. You know, jumpstart it with that kind of sponsorship. I didn't want to personally finance it forever.
Totally.
And I think I got Walmart to come out once. And, you know, it's a big organization. There's a lot of different ways in and out yep. and people talk to there. So I can't say all experiences would be the same. The experience that I had was like, at the time, they didn't really know how to interact with an external group like that. Or what. So
right,
what they yeah. did was they sent a recruiter out.
Yeah.
And that person came and sat at a table in the middle of the meetup group and then, like, just, you know, really made a lot of people uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because, like, they weren't coming there for a job interview, you know, and they didn't want to feel on the spot. And, like, she started buying, like, we would go out to, we had a lot of social events. We'd go to a brewery and stuff. We'd do, like, a lecture
right.
1 month, and then we'd do a happy hour event the next. So they came to a happy hour event and, like, started buying drinks for, like, individual tables. But not, like, all the tables, just the people they were sitting around. They kind of picked some people that were, like, you look like our pedigree. Buying drinks for you. Fuck you guys over there. And and I asked them not to come back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They never sponsored.
Yeah.
Like, I asked about a sponsorship, and they're like, sure, we'll come out. And their way of sponsoring was like, well, we bought some drinks for some people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, you didn't buy drinks for everybody. And, like,
yeah.
other people don't want to come back now because they don't want to be sold to about a job. Like,
yeah.
I was not trying to recreate the live action LinkedIn experience here. You know? Right. Like, we didn't want you in our DMs trying to sling bags of money at us.
I go back to the kind of what when I think about when I was experiencing the startup community in Northwest Arkansas in this kind of heyday, there was like the startup crawls going on in Bentonville, and then the Ruby meetup,
the Ruby kind on of Rails
became the thing,
guys,
man.
Is what it was.
And the connection
is that
there,
what's missing? Is it just the Rails community had the pulse going?
Kind of like as much as we like to like have a shite at Rails, like there's a bit of that. But the other thing was the coordinator for the Rails meetup had a like a bead on the recruiter, and it wasn't a corporate. I mean, it was obviously a recruiting firm, but it wasn't like a corporate like single entity recruiter. And it was just like, look,
one of them three letter agencies.
Look, show up with beer and pizza and sit in a corner and be happy to be here, and let them know like, hey, we brought you beer and pizza. If you're looking for work, I have some, and that's what you do.
Which
and
we like, all they, already knew.
But like that relationship seemed to really work with that meetup. Like I loved going to those meetups. I learned a ton. It was part of what really helped me move into being a Ruby developer for a season, because it was like so inviting, that community was so active, and like you showed up and you knew there was going to be a good talk. It was going to be well attended. There was going to be free beer and pizza, and you just like it's like cool. I don't have to go talk to the recruiter. It's not going to be awkward. And they know their place. And I'm sure that they actually were able to get people employed through that process. Like, I doubt it was a fruitless endeavor at all. But it was one of those things where it's like, cool. And so I've always wanted to get that back somewhere.
Beer and pizza is a very cheap line item on the marketing.
Absolutely.
You know? Dude, yeah.
And it sounds so silly to like make that the kind of the trope. But just it.
It works.
It fucking works.
It works. I love about some beer and pizza. Yeah. I'm not ashamed to say it.
It makes you feel more at home.
I never tried the approach of going to like a technical recruiting firm. I always went to a direct employer. I didn't think about that. Mostly because like, you know, the stigma is not the right word, but like just the icky. I just don't want to talk to recruiters. But like in that, if we can put them in the corner and limit their influence, like I don't like the idea of like coming in and like buying individual people drinks.
Right, that's very different.
That's kind of shitty.
But they literally would come in with just like, here's like a stack of pizzas and like several cases of beer. This is brought to you by us.
Yeah.
If you need work, come talk to me.
We're the ones in the corner wearing the polos.
I don't understand any of the words you're going to say to each other now.
Yeah.
And like they would literally say that.
Yeah.
And you're just like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. So like last year, I had one of those companies. They just gave me a paycheck or a check, not a paycheck, but a check. And we're like, and because I told them what I was going to do with it, which was buy beer and pizza. And then they were like, cool. And I was like, I'll put your name on the thing. It'll be on the website. It'll be before the presentation. Like, if you do want to come and say something, you know, right before someone starts talking, cool, you can do that. They never came, but they gave me money to do that.
They do it on a repeat basis? Do you get like,
What I did is, I had like tiers set up for the year.
Oh yeah.
There you go.
You were going for that 12x EBITDA. He had the annual recurring revenue.
I ended up getting almost $2,000 from different companies and stuff, which was great. But then like 2 months after that, like the pandemic hit. Yeah. So I still have literally all this money in an open collective account that I need to like follow through with.
Well, I didn't know we had a job script recruiting
tool.
We didn't know we had seat fun.
Beer and pizza is sitting out there waiting to be had.
You know what could happen? Here's what can happen, Blake. We could do this. We could do what has already been done before, and it's a terrible idea, but we could join forces.
Yeah.
And we could yet again reinvent the one developer group to rule them all.
Oh, yeah. Mentality. That'll be what this time around,
it's going to be open source and .NET stuff. And we can just start that rodeo if you want.
I mean, if only there were a Slack group that we could
use. Where we could communicate.
We could turn that into a live event.
There have been several times where I have thought about pivoting from doing something JavaScript that just doing web related stuff.
It's true.
And making it multi-language, right?
Yeah.
And then not kind of like boxing ourselves into that. That makes finding speakers infinitely easier.
Totally.
Not that there's not a shit ton of things to talk about in JavaScript land, but you get the same. There's always like X number of people that are willing to get up and talk to people. And if you're already limiting by language, like, you know, it's a percentage of that percentage. So,
And there's like critical mass, right? That when you get enough, you have enough volume of speakers, you're not struggling to find one as hard.
Yeah.
You have more willing participants. I don't know how many, I know you did this too. I don't know how many Python meetups at this point I gave the presentation.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't find anyone else. And it was like, I did that because the show must go on.
Yeah.
And I felt an obligation to that group to keep content flowing. But like, also it felt gross because it was like, I really didn't start this to be a place for me to come stand on stage every week and air my shit about Python.
I did enjoy your ETL talk, though.
My ETL talk is, that's still the, I wrote a blog post from that. It's the most high traffic page of our website.
Is that Casey's version of the Webpack talk, which is still the one that I did that people talk to?
I think
about?
Yeah.
Like,
must
be. Yeah. Was it like a generalized ETL talk or was it I did a follow-up where I did a practical one with Airflow?
I saw both of them. So
the ETL one was
more generic.
It was on Center Street over here at the on One East Center.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one was in the back room of the Spring Street office.
Yep.
God, we've had a lot of offices. Yeah.
You guys have had a lot of offices.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's like, I feel like
Lofty. Which one's your favorite one so far?
Ooh.
Oh, the last one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was a great office. The location wasn't as good.
I thought the one in Center Street or whatever was charming. I liked that one.
The one on the third floor up there with the big windows?
Yeah, yeah.
That one was cool.
The windows were cool. The view was awesome.
If I had been a smarter business person, maybe. I don't know, because the landlord was the university. The university owns that building, and they're not a great landlord. But
yeah, that makes sense.
I didn't really understand what you could negotiate in a commercial lease. Like, we should have gotten tenant improvement and fixed that space up.
Mm.
That space would have been a lot cooler with a coat of paint and like new flooring instead of that like crappy Berber carpet squares. Like, who would want that?
I remember
as I look down at the floor in our current space.
We could have
made that spot a lot nicer. I was kind of sad to leave that one behind.
Yeah, that was a cool space. Yeah, I liked that office. That of the offices you've had, that one and then the one on Dixon. Those are my two favorites.
On Spring Street,
I mean, I liked
Dixon.
The last office you had, obviously. It was super nice.
That was the nicest one to work in. But it was not the nicest one. It wasn't the best one to like go to lunch from.
Park or do any of that shit.
Yeah. The parking one on Spring Street, the parking situation was probably the worst thing about that.
Yep. Also, I'm sure that place is a little tainted. In memory.
Maybe. But, I don't know. I could have gotten past that, I think.
Yeah.
Why did we leave that spot? You know what the biggest problem with that spot was? One toilet.
Oh, yeah. We were growing. That's rough.
It was
one
rough.
Toilet, like no kitchen. That was a big part of the moving on from there.
Yeah, but, we did. I had gotten smarter as a business owner at that point, and I had negotiated tenant improvement in to build a kitchen, and then I wasn't very good at enforcing that, and the landlord's a dickhead over there, and I didn't get my kitchen. So we got tired of washing our dishes in the bathroom sink.
Yeah, makes sense.
And it was.
I'm waiting in line at the bathroom.
Waiting in line at the bathroom because we were so close to. Dude. We went out to lunch every day. We went out and had drinks and stuff like that. So the bathroom always had a line. But that was a cool spot.
Yeah. Location-wise, it was cool. I liked that back room that was in that one. That was cool.
Yeah, for that was cool. Meetup groups. Yeah. Yeah, that one had good stuff going. We had a lot.
I miss the folks coming in going, is this Rolando's? Is this, can I get a table?
Is this C4? Doesn't it look like a nightclub? Also, it's 11 o'clock in the morning. Why are you looking for the nightclub? It's 11 o'clock and you're 40.
The foot traffic there was pretty great.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was all kinds. We would come in.
Oh, like, man, we had that crazy guy. Remember the crazy guy that would walk up and down? And then our landlord, like, he was a crazy dude.
Yeah.
We've all been out there.
Yeah, right?
But our landlord,
there were a few of them, but now I know the one, yeah.
He it's true. There were a couple. But there was a belligerent person that would frequent the bike trail up and down in front of it.
He had loud opinions.
Very loud. He would, like, listen to speeches and, like, shout along with them, famous speeches.
Dictate them, yeah.
Yeah, and but our landlord, like, thought he was 10 times crazier than he actually was.
And he's like, and a threat.
He came and told, I think it was Alan, I was like, you hear that guy yelling something about Al Qaeda out there? And I was like, he's talking about Al Qaeda.
We're standing right next to the trail. He was talking about, like, labor unions or something.
It was like, sounded like a Marx speech, you know? It's just like, it was interesting times.
To the non-discerning ear, those are very comparable, let's just be honest.
I startled someone smoking their crack pipe sitting on the steps right there one time, getting in my car at night. Because I would come up here and park to go to Dixon Street.
Yeah.
We had two parking spots for 9 people.
Yeah.
And so we gave those out like Employee of the Month gift cards.
Yeah.
And but after hours,
that was a perk.
You had to come physically fight someone in hand-to-hand combat to get them out of the spot and call a tow truck so you could use it.
Yeah.
But after you got them towed, you had a spot to park on Dixon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I came back at at some hour after Whiskey Wednesday ended over at Smoking Barrel. Someone startled him so bad he dropped his crack pipe.
Oh man, that's rough.
Yeah. I didn't mean to make you spill your shit. I'm leaving.
I have to run.
You want
to
sit in this spot? just keep people from parking in
that
it.
That was like leaving on a Friday. There was surreal.
Because
you're just like, I'm just trying to leave work, and everyone's trying to find.
Yeah, everyone was trying to get started. Yeah, everyone was pre-gaming.
Yeah,
it was funny. It was like the facade of downtown Fayetteville. They rolled it up at the end of the day on Friday and was like, all right, everybody, get your fucking freak on.
Yep. Oh, man, Bikes Blues Barbecue there, too.
That's backstage passes.
I can only imagine.
Look, I can't say I'm sad that got canceled last year.
No, I'm not.
We usually, like, GTFO that weekend. Like,
Well, you
have to go really far away.
Yeah, you have to GTFO.
I thought I'd be all right.
I've gone on a backpacking trip and not been able to get away from everything.
Someone ride their motorcycle up and down.
We did the same thing. Yeah. I'm on the OHT. Still just like, they're everywhere.
We went camping up at Beaver Lake one time, which in hindsight obviously wasn't far enough. I was just like, well, we'll go camping. We won't have to deal with the motorcycles. And then it was just every campsite around. Damn it.
I will say I have already utilized, so this is in a pretty good, our new space is in a pretty good location in regards to like downtown Fayetteville and everything. And I've already used it for emergency potty stops several times.
Yep. Clutch.
In being here as a runner, I find myself needing a bathroom if I'm running in town at times. And I've definitely played the like, I got this space now card and like roll in and unlock it and burst in to take care of business running requires a view at times. So.
Well, this is a business. This is a place of business, and that's what we got it for. And
I gave it the business.
That's part of
the
common area. We don't have to clean that. So that's why we got it.
Yeah.
You know, working from home has its perks, but you know, communal pooping grounds is not one of them. Well, I mean, it is, but it's with your family, and you have to clean it.
Yep.
It's cool. It's weird to be, I mean, I know that like, is everyone just like, as, true to form, this podcast is always 1 week behind where everyone else is thinking because we record it and release it a week later. But we talked about COVID a lot in the beginning. And we're like, y'all are probably sick of this. And they're probably sick of talking about it going back to normal. But it's weird going back to normal,
it's
right?
It's so weird.
Well, I mean, even this right now, weird.
It is. Was it
New York and California officially yesterday for us? Maybe 2 days ago for us as we're recording. went full
for us, not as Arkansans, but for us as the people.
Like it's we're at the stage where like the two most kind of quote unquote locked down states have now opened up completely as well. So like, that's definitely
this building is the last bastion.
It really is. They had to update their signage to include the word "still."
Yep.
With wearing masks.
To be clear, they put a date on it.
And boy, if like,
we still wear masks as
there are far more like wear a mask the owner signs holding a newspaper now than there were during the pandemic. Yeah. Like I'm walking around like
it's this is a statement being made.
Yeah. Not see a sign in here now.
But it is weird. And like when did we go to Texas? Texas was weird because
you talking about the VueConf?
No. When Paige and I when I went okay, to I was get like, my mullet
other Debbie Texas
does hair.
Texas is always a little weird.
Texas didn't. I'm convinced.
Can't confirm.
I don't think South Padre Island or much of the Texas coast ever really had a lockdown. I don't think. I think that's where you went to escape lockdown.
You can't get COVID on the beach, bro.
No, man. There's a couple rules. There are exceptions. COVID's
not one of them.
COVID doesn't get you on the beach. Mm-hmm. It doesn't get kids. And it doesn't get you after food's on the table. And everybody knows that. It was a truce. It's like, hey, my meal's here. I don't need any more.
COVID's like our bad. Sorry,
but I'm sorry. I didn't realize you were eating.
I will not spread.
Yeah,
now.
As soon as you get drinks, I'll wait outside. outside's safe too. But like the what was it? It was we moved into here on a Thursday, and we got moved into this space, and I rushed that together because I was leaving on the road for like 3-4 weeks, yep. And so I wanted to have this set up before I left. So we left on a Thursday, Friday. We left on Friday after moving in here, but you and I were here getting moved into this space, Tyrell. And I remember Tyrell busting in with his phone and said, CDC just said vaccinated people don't have to wear masks anymore. Anywhere, indoors, outdoors, whatever. And I was like, oh, that's really cool information because I'm going on vacation tomorrow. So, you know, put that in my brain, hop in the RV, head down south. And it was still weird knowing that that was the thing. Like it was just, and it's still this way. You go into a store and my philosophy has very much been like, I still keep a mask on me at all times.
Yeah. Yep. Got one in my pocket.
I just look at the door.
Like a handkerchief.
You know, and I look at the sign on the door and if the sign says, hey, you still got to do it. I'm like, fine. I'm not here to like make anyone uncomfortable. Yeah.
Didn't come here to argue or nothing.
Yep. Yeah. And I had gone out to eat once with Tyrell and Chris on an outdoor thing, like a couple weeks before that. And then I hadn't gone out to eat the entire time.
Yeah.
And then we went out to restaurants and stuff. And it was tripping me out. It still kind of trips me out. Yeah. I forgot how to order food at a restaurant.
Or just, be around strangers. It feels weird.
We weren't missing much, guys.
No.
It's just other people's kids kicking your chairs and drunk people talking too loud.
So I've had a couple firsts in the past 3 weeks, too.
Good for you.
Like at a restaurant for the first time in forever. Going to a movie? Holy shit.
Yeah. I haven't done that yet.
Holy, that feels so good.
I was sketched out going to movies before COVID.
But now really no one goes. So it's literally you and four people.
He's right. Ooh. We went to see Quiet Place 2. It was Skylight in Bentonville.
Yes, Skylight. We went to see it at Malco and right still.
Yeah, no we went to Skylight, and there was nobody there. Did you get all the very heavy-handed messages from the film industry at the beginning?
Oh yes,
they're just like it's like the most cinematic 3 minutes of just like we're so happy it's over.
Yeah.
Watch old clips of Ferris Bueller and all the Marvel movies and be like, don't you feel glad to be in a theater again? Why don't you come back next weekend, bro?
Come every
it's
weekend.
Just like I have been thick. Three times. The last 3 weeks in a row.
Amazing it got him. They're definitely trying to make a very compelling case.
I wondered if you had, because I know we've had conversations about like you really like going to the movie theater.
I do. I knew you're the movie guy.
Yeah.
So what all have you seen?
We saw Quiet Place 2. Yep. We saw the new Spirit Animal movie with my daughter, which she loved it. It's good. And then we saw In the Heights.
Okay, cool.
All good.
Yeah,
all good. Way better in person with popcorn in a movie theater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a real thing.
You guys know I'm not a movie goer.
Yeah.
Frequently, but like I feel like I could get into that, especially if it's empty in there.
Yeah. That's why you go. Like nowadays, most theaters have like full service and everything, but like Skyline.
I haven't been to a theater since every theater is Alamo Drafthouse now.
It's a beautiful place that we live in now because they all realize like, oh, to get people to not just stream this on HBO Max We actually have to serve them food and drink that they can't get at their house. And so we all benefit from it. It's really nice. So yeah, it was really fun to go do that and have dinner there and watch the movie and then like listen to my wife scream louder than literally anyone else in the theater a couple of times.
So good.
Like, it was, yeah. So, and there is something to be said for, and you know, directors will say like, my film is meant to be viewed in a theater, mm-hmm. and you can be like, whatever, man. But there are some films that like really benefit from that, and that was one of them.
That was definitely.
One I would of them. Argue Tenet's probably not one of those because of how confusing it was.
Dude, that though movie was Nolan, fucking bizarre.
Christopher Nolan, like I really enjoyed it, and I wasn't as confused as everyone else. But for Christopher Nolan to be like, my art is meant to be seen in a theater, just like, bro, just because it's on a bigger screen doesn't make it make any more sense.
Mm-hmm. That's true, but it having I agree with that. But like watching Inception at home versus watching Inception in the theater, completely different experiences.
That's true. And 100%. Yeah, and so there'll definitely be movies like that. And I think, so like I said, there were at least two, I think there were three, welcome back to the movie, brother, trailers.
Yeah.
And one of them was a Marvel one.
Yeah.
And it was just Marvel course, just hitting you with just like, you guys, we've got so much pin-up Marvel for you. Yes! The theater back. And they just hit you with this like, this is coming. And this is coming. Yeah. And this is, because they want you to come.
I'm so fucking there for it.
Spend $1 at the theater with them.
Like, I'm going to be here.
They clobber you with
that. That is on my list to do. Yeah. Because there is one thing I realized while streaming the last three premiere, you know, HBO Max movies, is I have to let the dogs out still like every 30 minutes. Like it's, you know, there are plenty of things that don't
interrupt
happen
inside. Flow.
My wife's like TikTok over there and I'm like, none of this happens in the theater.
Yeah. It's immersed.
It's a whole other thing for sure. Been good. But oh crap. That thought just died in my brain.
Oh man.
It has been nice for some things, to be able to see it immediately at home.
Yeah.
Before the theater thing was a thing again, the fact that companies were willing to put some of that on the streaming services, that made me happy too. Because we went so long last year without anything new coming out.
Everyone did the same thing. Just like, well,
delay.
We'll just stop making movies for 3 weeks.
And so my wife and I would have like, you know, try to sit down to watch something on like a Friday or Saturday night together. It's like, okay, there's nothing. There's literally nothing new. Cool. To the Netflix and something we've seen probably 100 times already.
I became an avid YouTube consumer in a way that I hadn't before.
Okay.
Like I've always used YouTube as a reference material, right?
Mm.
YouTube has taught me many, many life skills.
Yes.
But I became like a consumer of like subscribing to like man-made. It's all man-made. I don't know. Maybe movies are AI generated now. We don't know which one.
Content that people are making.
I really like watching amateur video on the internet.
I understand.
And really got... Because that was the only thing that was producing new stuff every day.
Yeah, true.
And that's a really cool space, but it doesn't fill the same gap as like I like both, and I like both for different ways as far as like stuff that's produced by, you know, non-professionals. It's like I don't mind reading people's shit on the internet, like articles and stuff, but sometimes I want to read a newspaper. Like I don't mind reading Twitter to get a take on what's going on in the news. But sometimes I want to read a newspaper too, because I would like editorial judgment to be exercised and someone to like direct, right, if you will. But it was really interesting because that was something I don't think I actually subscribed to anything on YouTube before the pandemic.
Yeah.
And now I got some shows.
I'm
deep in it.
I've been addicted for a while. It's got that social media-esque hook though, which is something that I feel gross about every time. I have a couple different subjects, right? That I'll watch shit on YouTube about.
And have you had any of your YouTubers from different subjects like do a collab and blow your fucking mind?
No,
that has happened to me several times.
They're pretty like.
There's this like cluster of YouTubers in the North Carolina area, or at least they started there.
Okay.
In totally different circles, and there's like four of them that I followed independently and had no idea.
And they
show up at each other's house one day,
and you're like,
and it's like one of them's a mountain biker, The other one's a van life dude, and one's a woodworker.
Oh,
like,
weird.
What the fuck? And they're like, hey, man, we're going to go over to the mountain bike guy's house, and the woodworker's going to build some custom shells for dipshit's van over here. Like,
this is amazing.
Yeah, crossover episode.
It was good.
That's good. Great.
Speaking of like subscriptions and amateur content, you guys remember Clubhouse?
Oh,
that was the thing for like 3 months.
Oh, man, that was the hottest thing in the pandemic. That was a flash in the pan that lasted like, all of like 48 hours.
Someone realized this is like, hey, let's podcast live in a room.
The Clubhouse app?
Oh!
With the dude's head on the app?
And
I was like, what the fuck is this?
I don't even know.
Like, I'm going to pull it up. I'm going to see if anyone's on there. Does anyone use that app anymore?
That was the fastest, hottest
Everyone was on there.
I remember
fucking Bill Gates was on there giving keynotes and shit, and now it's a ghost town.
It's got to be.
Yeah.
It's got to be. Wow. It's like, that's hilarious.
It lived
to me.
And it died in the pandemic times.
That was a pandemic thing, for sure. Yeah. Also,
there's,
did anybody
there's
else?
There's rooms. It's still here, but nobody talking
about it. Did anyone else discover Mark Ribier, the musician?
Yes.
During pandemic?
Oh, my God, dude. That's great.
The Loopmaster from New York. He's just a random dude
with a loop pedal.
With like, he's got his own loop
pedal. Yeah.
He's always rocking a stash in the robes.
Yes. He blew up
huge. The
live streams every Sunday.
Yep. The moment I knew, I was just like, Mark's the man, was when he got that sponsorship. He still got it from Slim Jim's.
Oh, did he really?
Slim Jim's of beef jerky. Slim Jim sponsors a stream once a month, and he rolls in a silk Slim Jim's robe.
Oh, my
and
God.
And he's just, like, up there mixing about Slim Jim's, making that money. I'm just like, heck yeah,
His show is about, it's live production. He's looping, and he's recording different bits, and he's taking suggestions from the audience. And so when he couldn't tour anymore, he started live streaming.
Mm-hmm.
He had a YouTube channel where he would put, like, I'm sure he was just recording himself improvising, but like it wasn't live. But then he started doing like a call-in show.
Yeah.
And it's been fantastic.
It was a blast.
Yeah,
like
in the morning. Yeah.
Yeah. Too.
Just him in his underpants, singing some like disco inspired hip hop, groovy. A lot of disco inspired stuff going on there. It's good.
It's a lot of
amazing.
Great mustache too.
Mm-hmm.
While we're on the
very subject. Epic.
As a mustache owner,
I'm gonna text that to Blake right now.
Yeah.
You need that in your life.
Yeah. Mark Ribier.
We would be listening to some Mark Ribier live on the show right now if we had the production machine actually up and running through the board.
We're
where I could do that. We'll get that next time.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
I have bad news. I have to go.
Oh,
I know. But
now we're back to the other constraints of being in the real world.
Right.
We're not all already at home.
But
yes.
That's wow.
I love the like wash of realization that hit all of us.
All of us were just like, shit, I gotta go home too.
Shit. Yeah. Let's do it again soon.
We should do this again sometime.
I really like this.
This was fun.
Yeah, it was
fun. I hope it was fun for everyone else.
Yeah.
The dynamic is very different.
Yep. It is.
When we live produce this show.
Yeah.
The energy is good.
The energy's here. And, there's something about that 20 to, well, if you're on Cox Internet, let me, 20 to 2,000 milliseconds of latency that can kind of mess up the flow. And so it's good. It's good to have you all back. And back in a proper studio, too.
Hell yeah.
Cool.
Sweet.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah.
See y'all later.
Later.
Oh, episode 100. We forgot to say it. Here it is.
This is our 100th episode.
Oh, yeah.
Celebrate. We didn't even make a big deal out of it.
Do something at the beginning.
We'll have to do an intro recording.
Yeah. Blake can go and we'll.
Blake, you can leave. We're going to sit here and riff.
Y'all are going to make fun of JavaScript for 100th episode.
Of course we are.
Okay.
Of course.
All right. I guess I'll leave.
It's our 100th episode. That's our 100th episode where the topic is about JavaScript.
That's a pillar on which this show is built.
It's our 100th
episode. So basically.
Thanks for listening to Friday Afternoon Deploy, recorded and produced by the team at Lofty Labs. If you enjoyed the show, you can subscribe to future episodes via iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. You can also follow @FridayDeploy on Facebook and Twitter for episode previews, live streams, and other behind-the-scenes peeks. Past episodes and show notes on this episode can be found at friday.hirelofty.com. That's friday.hirelofty.com. If you'd like to contact the show, or if you're local to the Northwest Arkansas area and would like to be a guest on the show, you can email us at podcast@hirelofty.com.